Good morning. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're going to get started for the first time in a long time since I've been on the air, and I'm excited about that, to talk about making money and saving money and the things that I've been doing for going on 35 years. And I know a lot of you out there are at a point in your life where you got New Year's resolutions. I read an article just recently that only 1% of the population that set New Year's goals by the 10th of January, they've already, 99% of them have give up on those goals or they're not focused on them. So I thought I might start out with that. But I'm going to take your calls. The calls are based on, you know, this show is going to be a show about increasing income, which I talk to people all the time, and they tell me, you know, I don't have enough money, you know, to save. I'm not saving enough money. I'm not doing things to allow myself to get ahead. And every time I meet with people, I find out there's one of two problems. They either have an income problem, meaning they're just not making enough money, and you can only take so little income and turn it into so much. I mean, it's just very difficult to do that. And so we're going to talk about that. And I'll take your calls at 615-737-9522. That's 615-737-9522. 22. And then the second thing that they have is they have an outgo problem. And the outgo problem is that they just spend more money than they make. And when you do that, eventually it catches up. Most of the time, the outgo problem shows up 5 years later, something like that. I remember a guy telling me about real estate. He said, if you own rental properties and you lose $100 a month on your rental property, eventually there will be a limit as to the number of rental properties that you can own, because you know you might be able to own 10 that lose $100 a month, but you may not be able to own 100 that lose $100 a month. He said, but if you can have one that makes a dollar a month, you can own unlimited numbers of properties. It doesn't matter as long as it makes money. And if you've got more coming in than you have going out, you can live like that forever. But when you have less income than outgo, you always end up having a problem. And so what we're going to do kind of to start the morning out to help you get your finances straight, I wanted to give you a little background on myself. This is a new show, but I'm not new to this. I started out in the financial and investment business about 35 years ago. I can't believe I did that. I was 23 years old. Now I'm getting ready to be 58, which I can't even understand how I could get that old that quick. But anyway, with that being said, and then a number of years ago, I was the one of the founders of The Money Game here in Nashville, which ended up becoming the Dave Ramsey Show. And so I did that for a long time. And so what I did back then and what I do now is help people get ahead, help them learn the rules of the money game. And so I thought I would start with this year being the new year and the show beginning at the beginning of the year, talk about the financial GPS. And what the GPS is, when we go get in our car and we want to go somewhere, the first thing we do is if we don't know where we're going, we pull our phone out and we go to the GPS, and the GPS will give us a point A to point B. And what point A to point B it allows us to do is it allows us to get to a place that we want to go and do it in the most efficient way. And the first thing that has to happen in the GPS is you got to have a destination in mind. And the destination is your goal. And in finance and in money, the goal is always the beginning point that you need to have, and that is your financial independence number. Now, your financial independence number is an amount of money either that you've created in the way of an income stream, which we talk about income problems, or it's an amount of money that you have invested that will give you an income that will allow you to continue to live for the rest of your life without ever worrying about money ever again. So it starts with the goal. The goal is the financial independence number. And best of all would be that you have a financial independence plan that's built up of, say, owning a business. along with owning investments. And in both cases, you end up you're financial independent or you're bulletproof. And so we start out with that, and the goal begins with coming up with a number. So how do we come up with a number? Well, I use a rule of 20. You can use that or a rule of 16. And what that means is that you need to decide how much money you need right now. And if you were going to quit today, how much would that be? And if you wanted to live on, say, $100,000 a year, well, the rule of 20 would be that you need $2 million set aside, or you need something that will generate that $100,000 a year. So the $2 million goal would be at 5%. We could invest that money. That's a reasonable pull. That would give you that $100,000 a year. And so it starts with a goal. You got to have some type of goal in mind. You know, I have people come in and they tell me that, you know, they have a hard time saving money. Well, one of the reasons they have a hard time saving money is that their income hasn't moved up. And so let's think about income. In 2000, the average household income was a little over $50,000. Today, 18 years later, the average household income is about $53,000. Now, we just had some bigger increases this year. We actually had the biggest increase that we've had in any year this year. Incomes are coming up and, you know, the job market's picking up, but it's still just a little over $53,000. Well, the challenge that you're running into if you're having savings problems is that in order to keep up with inflation, you needed to be right at $80,000. So if your income is the average median income 20 years ago and it's still the average median income today, then you're about $2,500 a month short. And that $2,500 a month short is why you're having challenges. That's why cars seem more expensive today. That's why, you know, homes that used to be $120,000 or $350,000 because of inflation. So when we start digging into our goal setting, the first thing we have to do is we have to come up with a number. And I would tell you that that number today is about 20 times whatever you desire. And then from there, you have to come up with an inflated goal. And that means about every 20 years, you need to expect it's going to need to double. At 3% inflation, it'll double in about 24 years. And so what you end up having from there is a big goal, and you put that on paper. And, you know, one of the things that I see, you know, I read an article by Michael Phelps this morning, and Phelps said that, you know, what's the secret? And he said, what was the secret to 23 gold medals? Well, the secret to 23 gold medals was he had written goals. And he said he wakes up in the morning and he said now he wants to be a great father and he wants to, you know, still has other goals other than swimming. And he said that he wakes up and he has his goals in his closet. And I thought that was kind of interesting. He said, because the first thing I do before I leave the house is I'm going to end up going to the closet and getting my clothes. And he said, right when I walk in the closet, I see my written goals. And he said, then that keeps me focused on what's important and where I want to go to. And so when you start out with your goals this year, the first thing I would tell you is, you know, set a goal, okay, that is going to get you motivated. And then when you wake up every morning, be reading that goal, have it written, put it on paper, and keep it with you. So our call-in number is 615-737-9522. If you would like to call in and any kind of questions regarding money, finance, we're going to talk about building an income plan when we come back and talk about, you know, what is the difference in people that go out there and really make it happen and earn a lot of money. You know, there's millions of, I think right now we have 10 million millionaires in the United States. Is it hard work? Is it being smarter than everybody else? No, there's a system to that. And so give us a call, 615-737-9522. I'll take your callers on business and money. This is Roy Matlock, and we will be right back.
Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock, Jr.
Okay, we are back. Roy Matlock here, and talking about making money and building an income plan. And we're going to get more into that. You know, as we went into the break, we were talking about the goal and how to develop a plan, a financial independence plan, a financial independence number. Because one of the things that you have to have, you know, a destination in mind if you want to get there. I mean, if we were to get into a Uber, you know, and the guy says, well, you didn't put in where you want to end up, and you say, just drive. You know, you could run around circles forever and ever and ever, and you don't end up going where you want to go. And so the first thing that you want to do is create a plan. And let me give you some numbers. 95% of the population at age 65, after working for an entire lifetime, they retire with no money. In other words, they go throughout their whole life, they live as if they are going to keep working forever, and they have no savings, they have no income plan. And then, you know, it's very difficult when you're 65 years old and tired, all right, trying to develop your plan. And so the most important thing is to get a plan early. You have to realize that, you know, starting out, that most problems can be fixed if you just put it on paper and manage it a little bit. I've found that anything that I focus on, that I put on paper, that I kind of spend a few hours, you know, thinking about, and then put something down as a game plan of how I'm going to fix it, it automatically improves about 20%. If you want to cut expenses, one of the things that you can do in your financial plan is to go through and look at everything you do and then go in there and say, okay, now what is it I can do to cut cost? And then put that on paper. These are the things that I'm going to do differently. And then in your goals, you're wanting to become financially independent, you're wanting to build something, then one of the things that you'll do is focus your attention on that goal, because it'll get in your head, you'll look at it, you'll pay attention to it, and before you know it, you'll automatically start acting in such a way that will cause you to reach your goals. Where most people's challenges come in is that they don't know what they want, so therefore they just roam around throughout their life, and then one day they wake up and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm 45, 50 years old, I haven't saved any money, or I, you know, my career, I cannot believe that I'm making this little money right now, and I'm getting downsized, or I'm being looked over for promotions and stuff like that. And the reason that happened was if there was no goal that you wanted to be somewhere. You know, I would tell you right now that the thing you have to realize about our financial mindset is that most people don't think about it very often. So therefore, as a result of not thinking about it very often, they don't end up ingraining it into a financial independence plan. And so when you go in to start your goal setting, you need to take and understand that it takes some effort on your part. And it's the kind of effort that you don't have to do today. You can do it tomorrow, the next day, or never do it. And so it's one of those tasks that very few people take the time to do, because it's not urgent. It doesn't become urgent until you haven't done it. And then one day you get caught up into it. And before you, the next thing you know, you are it's too late. And so I want to encourage anyone that's on here today to start thinking about your goals. We live 168 hours a week. Hopefully we're alive the next 7 days. We try to work for 40 hours a week, even though our expenses, as my dad says, you got to make, has always said this, your money, you have to make money while you're sleeping, because you spend money while you're sleeping. And then we work for 40 years with the goal of not working for 25 or 30 years. And we've got to make that all happen in a 40-hour work week. Well, you know, I've learned some things about making money. Making money doesn't usually go along with 40-hour work weeks. Most people put more time in. And so if you've got a $2,500 a month income problem, which is what has happened to a lot of people over the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, what you'll end up finding is that most of the people that don't have that problem, they end up doing something about it. They have extra jobs. They have different things. I get a newsletter that basically is it's called The Hustle, and it was interesting to me that they interviewed 30,000 people, and those 30,000 people they interviewed that had side hustles, the average full-time income they had was $90,000 already. So there were people out there that were already making what we would consider for most people good money, but then they were the ones out there. But we've got a caller here, and so I'm going to go to a caller. This is not right on this income plan, but I think it's very goes right along with it. And so I've got Ray on the line. Ray, what's your question?
Hey, Roy. I was wondering, with that target of that financial independence number you were talking about, what should I be doing with my 401k and my IRAs with all the volatility happening in the last few months?
You know, it's interesting. I was that's one of the interesting things that's going on in the market right now. It's being normal, okay? And I was looking at a from one of an investment company that I was reading, and it says volatility is back. Five keys to investing in 2019. It says volatility is back. Prepare for more of it. But what I thought was really interesting about it was the difference in if you take a long-term perspective. So we know what a bear market is. A bear market is when the market's down, you know, 10% or more. And so the bear markets have happened. And I look, there's been the average length of time of a bear market. Now, this is kind of interesting to me because people panic like all the time. If you've got a 401k, what I tell you to do is just make sure it's allocated properly and don't look at it. Just keep putting your money going. But I'm going to give you a number here. The average bear market, all right, goes down 33%. Okay, there's 14 bear markets during that 14 month, and it's a 14-month period. Now, if you hang in there during that bear market, the average bull market is up 263%, and it lasts for 71 months. So what it says is for a little short-term 14-month pain, if you just leave it alone, you get 71 months of almost nine times what you had in the down market. I read another article about when you have markets going down. It says when markets are going down, that's when you make your money, but at the time you just don't realize it. And so, Ray, what I would tell you is to make sure that you just continue to put that money aside, because right now may be a really positive time to be saving money. So have you got that allocated across what kind of things?
Well, we've got, I hope it's pretty decent diversification. I've got some things in growth and some growth in income and some balance and then a little bit in international.
Now, how old are you?
50.
All right. And, you know, that would be, to me, at that point in time, that's when you have to look at your investment account and say to yourself, am I in the accumulation stage still, or am I more in the preservation stage? And the way I determine that, if I meet with somebody and they've have done a good job saving at that point, and I look and I say, well, you've got $300,000 saved. Well, based on your income and what you're saving, the most important thing you have happening for your retirement plan is what you already have. And so I'm going to tone back a little bit. I want to make sure that whatever they have, that they don't go lose it, and I'm going to tone it back a little bit. Now, if the most important thing that they have going for their retirement plan is going to be what they're going to save between now and then, I might be a little bit more aggressive in the way I talk to them, because what they're going to have to do, they're behind. And so now, because they're behind, they're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. One of the things that you can't do is wait and then be completely conservative in the way you do it. But just realize that if you wait inflated and you're not really ahead of the game, then what ends up happening is you're going to probably have to take a little bit more risk in your portfolio. But I appreciate your call. And our call-in number is 737-9522. That's 615-737-9522. And we'll take your calls. Right now we've been talking about, you know, how to set goals and income goals. But, you know, we did have that 401k call, so I thought I might hit a couple of things on 401ks for many of you. 73% of the population that's in the United States is eligible for a 401k. Interesting enough, though, it ranges between 60 and 90% of the people are actually participating. The 90% should be 100% because those are opt-in 401 or opt-out 401ks. What that means is you go to work for the company and they're like, you're saving money unless you tell us to not allow it to be pulled out of your account. And so there's a certain about 10% of the people who are already signed up say, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't want you to match my money. I don't want you to do that. And so that's one of the high end is 90%, then you get the low end is 60%. But the interesting thing about it is for those people who do save money in a 401k, the average balance is about $96,000. And if you reach age 65 or over age 60, the average balance is over $200,000. So the 401k is a great way to save money. And if you're not in a 401k, you can also do what's called an IRA and you can start saving. And my recommendation is that if you're, you know, involved with an IRA, that you set it up to automatically come out of your account each month. And by doing that, what's going to happen is you automate financial independence. And by automating financial independence, just like a 401k, you put your goal down, you look and say, now, I need this much money, I'm going to get this much return, and then at that point, you back it out with a compound interest calculator or something that will allow you to have some idea of where you're going to be, and then you start going after that goal. If you're not making enough money, you work on the income, which is what we've been talking about. So 737-9522, 615-737-9522. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we're talking about, you know, raising your income and becoming financially independent and taking and making the right moves when it comes to your money. And so when we come back, I'm going to continue a little bit on the income side, but also I'm going to kind of follow up with some of the 401k mistakes that people make that we see on a regular basis. Again, 737-9522, and we'll be right back.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we are back on the air, and we're talking money about making money, and the call-in number is 737-WLAC if you're trying to figure it out on there. And so 737-WLAC. And for your questions and money calls, my name is Roy Matlock, and I will be answering those calls, helping you get toward financial independence. And so 615-737-9522. With that being said, let's continue down this income problem that people have. You know, over the last 20 years, if you're an average median income, your average income went from a little over $50,000 to a little past $53,000, but the cost of living went from a little over $50,000 to a little over $80,000. So now that you know, the first thing is becoming aware of what's happening to you. The second thing is, what are you going to do about it? And there's a lot of different things you can do if you want to get ahead. You know, it might be you need a part-time job. You know, 40 hours a week usually doesn't work. I've seen very few people that can put a little bit of time in and end up making a lot of money. I heard this one time that there's a rule called the 50-40-10 rule. And the 50-40-10 rule says this: if you want to beat 50% of the population in anything you do, all right, no matter what it is, all you got to do is work hard. So you'll be 50% of the people just by a willingness to work hard. And what that means is that it just says that half the people out there are just not going to work hard. And so right off the bat, you already beat half the people by outworking them. The second thing, the 40% rule is that you got to be honest and you got to be credible, because credibility is the most important thing in any type of relationship. If you're not honest and you don't have credibility and you can't be trusted, and if you're trying to, the last thing somebody wants to do is go invest their money with someone they don't trust. So they're not going to do that, or do business with someone they don't trust, or buy a product that they feel like is not going to do what it says it's going to do. So if you go out and you work hard and you're honest, you move yourself into the 90 percentile. All right, because a lot of people, they cut corners. They think that they can fool people and that they can get by with it. But their reputation eventually comes up and catches up with them. And so that's the 40%. So the 50-40%, the 50-40-10, now you're in the top 10%. Now, when you're in the top 10% in anything you do, you know, if you're a real estate agent and you're in the top 10% of real estate, then you probably are doing okay. If you're a doctor and you've become in the top 10%, you know, of your field, you're probably doing pretty good. So you start fixing your income problems. Now, at the same time, that work hard mindset is the kind of deal that, you know, you work six and rest one. That's what it says in the Bible. And I think back then they said sun up to sundown was kind of the way you work. The other thing I found is the more you work, the more fun you have because you start getting ahead. You don't feel like it's just drudgery because, you know, the worst thing you can ever do is work your whole life and always be broke. And so anyhow, with that being said, you then start looking at your income and you say, well, what is the cause of why I'm not getting rich? And why is it that I'm not getting ahead? You know, we say, well, hard work is one, but really it's the way you earn your money. See, what I learned early on when I was like 19 years old, I found out, and then by growing up in a self-employed family, that the first step that you take to get financially better off is you got to have some type of ownership. And you got to own your own business. And what that means is you got to at least be self-employed. And what self-employed means is that, you know, the difference in working somewhere and working for yourself is that you get to set your own hours. That's the first thing. But the amount of money that you get paid is what you would normally get paid as an employee, along with the profit that the company is making off of your work, and you're getting both of them. So what happens is that, you know, if you're making $50,000 a year working for somebody doing a certain job, well, if you can go out and do that same job on your own, you might make $100,000 a year doing that same job on your own, because you're getting what they paid you along with you're getting what they made off of you. And it's interesting to me that people don't understand the way business works. Business works like this. You get hired as an employee in order to make the company a profit. They want to pay you the least amount of money possible to get the job done. That's all they want to do. They don't want to pay you more than they have to. They want to pay you what they have to. You know, right now, it's a tougher job market for employers, so people are getting raises. But if we have a big slowdown, and then the next thing you know, it turns the other way, people make less money. And the reason they do that is that companies pay you in order to make them money. So then they have layoffs if you're not making them money. So once we understand that, all things being equal, if you can do the same kind of work that you're doing right now, but you do it on your own, you're probably going to end up making more money, which is going to allow you to save more money. So let's just say right now that you were working in a law office and you're a legal assistant. All right. A legal assistant's going to make X amount of dollars. Now, I know this. I went out and did some transcription one time, and I went to a company that does transcriptions. And what I learned was that these law offices will outsource transcriptions. to people. And so that outsourced company is charging that law office to do it. And when I got there, they didn't have just one person working. They had numerous people working. And so that same transcription person, I would imagine, started out working for someone, then went out on their own, started getting all the business that they could, and then eventually started hiring other people to work for them, and that makes them a profit. That's when you become a business owner. So we start out as an employee, maybe that's where you're at right now, and maybe that field has the ability for you to go do something on your own. I would recommend you do that. If it doesn't have that ability, then what I would do is I would find something that I could get educated on, that I could go do something on my own. You know, that's why you have a lot of people, you know, do sideline businesses. They start, you know, there's every kind of sideline business. You know, today's world is turning into a lot of people wanting to work out of their house and do things like that. And the reason they do that is because they're sick of the traffic. They want a better lifestyle. And if they can go out and do that on their own, then they don't have a boss and they're excited about that. And so the first step is you got to understand how money is made. As an employee, you're always going to be dealing with issues that companies want to cut cost. So if I were in your situation right now and you're working for someone and you are not making what you want to make, then I would consider something on the side to help you start making more money. You might go get a license. All right. We have a lot of people, I know tons of people that they start their real estate business part-time. I started in the financial services business and got my licenses part-time. Did that for 18 months and then transitioned into something on a full-time basis. And so I would start, if I want to raise my income, I would start looking for a way to have a sideline business. Now, you might drive Uber if you're in a desperate situation and need some extra money, that kind of thing, and that'll allow you to save money. The challenge, though, with that, just like anything else, is you have the same issues. And the same issues are is that you're really kind of an employee. You know, I read an article that Google now has driverless cars and they're going to put Uber out of business. And so you always want to find something that's got a big market to it that you can kind of implement on a part-time basis. I always recommend start your business part-time, whatever you're doing, and do that. And you can visit my website if you want to get more information on a lot of these different things. If you're a small business person, if you are looking for ways to get your business up and running, that kind of thing, go to my website at roymatlockjr.com, roymatlockjr.com, and there's a lot of things there. And so we're going to move into a break, and we're going to continue talking about developing an income stream, how to go in business and do that kind of stuff. And you can call in at 615-737-9522, 615-737-9522, and we will be right back in just a couple minutes. Thank you.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. back here at 615-737-9522. We'll take your calls regarding money and business, and we will continue down this path this week on developing your income plan. And as we go throughout the year, I'm going to be working on different segments like this. And I know we've spent a lot of time this morning talking about, you know, earning money and how to go about earning money, because I really do see, especially middle America right now, they've got income problems. And in many cases, they do not know what to do in order to fix their income problem. And so I'm going to continue down that path. A lot of the times, we're going to talk about small businesses. We're going to talk about, you know, what do you do when you are in debt and you want to get out of debt? How do you set up a financial game plan? You know, my background has been a couple of things. You know, I tell people I'm good at a few things, and I'm good at business. I've been self-employed. I've never had a job. Started in business for myself when I was 19, and have been a business owner ever since that time, and have, as a result of that, have been able to really do well financially as a result of owning a business. And it was the method in which I made my money which has caused me to develop the kind of life that most people would like to have. You know, I learned some things about making money. First thing I want to do is I want to do something that always gives me recurring income. I don't want to trade my hours in for dollars, you know, because then I have to go to work every day in order to get paid. I want to get to a point where I don't ever have to go to work unless I want to go to work. And so the way you do that is you do something that has a recurring income model to it. I learned in business that if I start a business, just because it's a good idea doesn't mean it'll make you money. I've been involved in things where great idea just didn't make me any money. And the reason it didn't make any money was maybe the market wasn't big enough for it to work out, or maybe it was something that was a fad, or maybe it was you know, a commodity to where, you know, you just really couldn't make any money on it. I read an article about Henry Ford and how he went about pricing his products, and I thought it was interesting. The Model T was the product that was priced that he could sell cars for $400. He said back then, he said they did a survey and they found out that most people would pay $400 for a car. And in the past, he had built cars that were much more expensive than that. And he went to his engineers and he said, give me a car that we can make a profit for $400, because that's all people will pay. And if they do, if we can do it at $400, they'll take every car we can produce. And so they came up with Model A, Model B, Model C, until eventually they got to Model T. And the Model T had no options. It was the same color, had all these kind of things. And the next thing you know, they were selling millions of these cars. But we've got a caller, Antonio. And Antonio, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Antonio, what's your question? You said looking for a side hustle. Give me, tell me what you're thinking about.
I'm not really sure. I currently work in the staffing industry, and I was just looking at something, possibly looking at something else. I was wondering what type of industry I should look into and looking for a side hustle.
Well, I mean, you know, the first thing that I tell people is, you know, if I'm looking for anything, you know, I want to look at what the top guy makes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I'm going to go do something with the goal of making extra money and turning it into, say, a new career, I want to know if the top people make any money. Because if they don't make any money and they're good, you can't bet on the fact that you're going to be as good as the top person. And so that would be my starting point, because, you know, the idea behind, you know, my thought is I want to find something that I can make money that I like doing. And so I would start with that. Have you looked into anything at this point?
Not really anything at this point. Just looking for a way to make some extra income.
Well, I mean, are you wanting to change careers?
Possibly, if the opportunity is right.
Okay. Well, here's what I would do. I would first start out and say, you know, what is my skill set? I had a interesting conversation with a guy that's he's got a big bus company, and he lost his job, and he started saying, he said to himself, he said, what do I know how to do? And he said, I know how to drive buses. He said, I know how to take care of buses. I've been doing it 10 years for the church. And the next thing you know, he said, I'm just going to go buy me a bus. And so he bought him a coach. And went and bought a used one. He started driving it. And then he figured out that, you know, he could only make money when he was driving. So he bought him another one. He got him a driver. And the next thing you know, he's got 60 of them. And that all came from, you know, looking at his skill set that he was doing. I'll say this. this. You know, I entered the financial services business. I said that earlier. And I bring people in on a part-time basis where they can get licensed and learn about money and go help people. And so what I would do is look for something that, A, if you have a skill set behind it already that you can add to, I would look at the market that is out there to see what kind of you know, competition I have, that kind of thing. I'll tell you another website that I went to that I thought was really a cool website. It's called Udacity. And if you want to go look at something, they've got to think how to do a business startup. And it's very interesting in the way in today's world that, you know, you're told to do stuff like that. But you can visit my website, roymatlockjr.com. It might be something there. You know, there's a lot of different things. The one thing I wouldn't do if you want to get, you know, if you're in a short-term crunch, then you might go do something that just to make extra money, work part-time somewhere. It's, you know, the job market's easy to get. But if you're not in a short-term crunch, what I would do is just figure out something that a year or two from now that you could change jobs. Okay, double your income, triple your income. And there's I see people all the time that completely – I got a friend of mine that was an electrician that's, you know, and totally left that and is making, you know, $1 million a year in the financial business. And I know people that came out of other industries and they decided they were going to sell real estate on the side. And they went and did that. I just want to remind you, though, on every one of these things, the 50-40-10 rule. So, Antonio, I appreciate it. Any other questions?
No other questions.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thank you for calling. 615-737-9522 is our call-in number. And I want to just kind of review what we talked about today. First thing is your goals need to be written. Michael, the swimmer, my brain is losing his name. All right, I'll tell you in a minute. But anyway, I read that this morning. You know, 23 gold medals. He said every morning he has his goals. They're written, and they're in his closet. One of the first books that I read was a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's a book that was written back in the 60s by Napoleon Hill is funded by Andrew Carnegie, who would be, you know, the Bill Gates of today. And they studied all the self-made people, and one of the first things they talked about was on page 36 that you've got to have a written goal, you've got to have an action plan, and those written goals are short-term goals and long-term goals. And so, and then every day, wake up and read those goals every day until they get ingrained in your mind, and then one day you will subconsciously begin to go toward those goals. See, it's a mindset. And, you know, I talk to people and they graduated from college. And the reason they did is they made a decision they were going to graduate from college. Along the way, they had things going on that they could have veered off, and they didn't do that because they had made a decision. And so when you go and put yourself down, when you put it on paper, and you read about it every day. I remember when I first got involved in the financial business. This is what happened to me. I would get negative. I'd get scared. I'd be worried whether I was going to be able to make it or anything like that. And I'd just say, okay, I'm going to read my goals. And I'd write those goals down and had them on paper, had them everywhere. I had them in my car, had them in my pocket, you know, had them on the mirror. Everywhere I went, I had those goals. If I reached down, I'd just reach down and read those goals. And I'd say, okay, I'm focused. And here's where I'm going to end up. This is why I'm doing this. I'm going to keep looking at these things. And then I'd go out and I'd do something, work a little bit more. And then I'd get negative again. And then I'd go back and do it again until one day I found myself moving forward. I started making money. I started saving money. I started seeing things happen. And sometimes I was doing things that I had put on those goals, and I looked, I didn't even remember doing them, but I was automatically doing those kind of things. And so the first step in goal setting is a written goal. You want to have a goal of financial independence. That's 20 times your income is what you need if you want to quit and never run out of money, 20 times your income saved. To do that, the most important thing is to start saving early. Yesterday was the best day to start saving. If not, start doing it now. Take advantage of retirement plans. And then, you know, if you work for a company, we talked a minute at an earlier caller about 401ks. I'm not going to have time to get into that today, but I'm going to talk about some of the mistakes people make about 401ks. And so it starts out with the goal. The next thing is on the GPS is the plan. And then the final thing is the schedule. So we start our goal, our plan, our schedule. So what is the plan? What is the beginning makings of our plan? Well, the beginning makings of the plan is a dollar figure, okay, is this. So now what do we do? How much do we need to save? So then we go into our trusty compound interest calculator. If you don't have one of those, all you got to do is just go right on to the internet and Google compound interest calculator. And that way it'll tell you, I need $1 million and I need to do it in 20 years. All right, here's what I need to save every month if I get 8% interest, or I get 9% interest, or 7% interest. You got to get educated and get your money working for you. You know, the bank right now, the rule of 72 is a rule that I was taught early on. And that rule of 72 says if you take any interest rate and divide it in the number 72, what's going to happen is that it'll tell you how long it takes your money to double. So I saw that. I'm like, okay, so that you're telling me if I got 1%, that it would take my money 72 years to double? Yep, that's what would happen. If I got 2%, what would happen? It would take 36 years for my money to double. Well, what if I got 12%? Well, that means it would double every 6 years. Well, now you start taking your doubling periods and you say, well, if I could double my money in 6 years at 12%, that means $1,000 in 6 years would be $2,000, and then $4,000 in 12 years. And then in 18 years, it'd be $8,000. Or I could have it at 1% sitting in the bank. And if it's at 1%, it would take 72 years. So in my case, I would have my $1,000 when I'm 130 years old. I would have $2,000. So I'm like, man, that's not going to work. So I got to get educated on where I could get a better rate of return on my money. I come up with an assumption that I think I can get. I always tell people, you know, it's very, you know, I've seen funds that have averaged 12% for, you know, 50 plus years, but maybe that's high. So maybe you go in and say, well, what if I could get 8 or 9% of my money long term? What if I could do that? Well, let's put that number in. At 9%, it doubles every 8 years. At 8%, it doubles every 9 years. And so then I have the beginning of my plan. So now I know I need $1 million. That'll give me 50 grand a year. All right. I've taken that rule of thumb that I need to double it about every 20 years, because at 3% inflation in 24 years, your money doubles. So now, you know, I figured it out, my $1 million. Now I need 2 million. And now I've got 20 years. And I take my compound interest calculator and I say, well, I've got this much money saved and I think I'm going to get this much return on it. I'm going to put that in there. So right now, my $10,000 is going to be worth this. Now, what am I missing? Well, I'm missing this much money that I need to be saving. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at it and say, okay, I got just a little bit of time. You know, I got this much time. I need to save this much money every month. And now I'm going to automate that. And the next thing you know, hey, we're on track. And we're on track to get ahead. And so I hope you enjoyed today. What we'll be talking about is this kind of stuff every Saturday morning. And I will be talking about money, making money. We'll have a small business hour where we talk about how to market your business. We're going to talk about next week the second part of the GPS and the plan of action. And then we'll talk about one of the most important things is your schedule. Your schedule is you make a habit of doing the right things. My name's Roy Matlock Jr., and I appreciate your time. I'll see you next week.